few executive orders from the Obama administration have produced as much bad will as the Fair Pay and Safe Workplaces rule. It would require contractors to disclose any and all accusations on record of violations of any of more than a dozen labor laws. The Associated Builders and Contractors filed suit and won an injunction against the rule last week, the day before it went into effect. Joining me with more, Ben Brubeck, Vice President for the Regulatory, Labor, and State Affairs at the ABC. And Mr. Brubeck, good to have you back.
Good morning. Thank you, Tom.
Your main objection to this rule, the association, was that you called it a blacklisting rule. Tell us what your position was.
Yeah, sure. There's a number of groups involved in this issue in the federal contracting space. ABC, as well as the Chamber of Commerce and National Association of Manufacturers, and a number of associations in town that have federal contractor members. And ABC and NASCO, the National Association of Security Contractors, specifically filed a lawsuit against the blacklisting executive order, and we were granted a preliminary injunction, as you said. ABC and our members in the federal contracting community call it the blacklisting rule because the rule forces contractors to disclose any violations or alleged violations of about 14 federal labor and employment laws. And we felt that the rule was overly broad and would force contractors to disclose alleged violations. These are violations that have not been finally adjudicated, violations that often get thrown out or negotiated down as they are adjudicated. And we were concerned that any disclosure of these non-final adjudications could actually impact the ability of a contractor to get a contract and future contracts, and this could also bleed over into the private sector. We were concerned that the rules and the process that a contracting officer and these new agency labor compliance advisors through the Department of Labor would use to determine whether a contractor is responsible or not were not well developed and could potentially lead to litigation and all kinds of problems that would grind the procurement process to a halt or certainly slow it down in the future.
Did you also feel that the existence of that rule could even prompt complaints, even whether they were well-grounded or not, just as a way of getting at a company that might be bidding on a big contract?
Exactly. We were very concerned that this new rule would allow lawyers and labor unions to weaponize the new process to essentially attack companies. Oftentimes, in the construction industry, when unions are organizing a company, they will file frivolous, unfair labor practice violations against the company in order to increase their costs, increase litigation costs, and create problems for them. And we were concerned that they would continue to do this under this new rule. It could jeopardize contracts. And oftentimes, contractors will push back on those alleged violations, and the complaints get thrown out. And so, you know, it didn't make sense to have contractors be possibly losing contracts over something that may, in fact, be false or they're innocent of. The court agreed with that argument in the preliminary injunction.
And there's also a practical matter, too, here because of the reporting regime. Isn't this information that you might have felt the government already had anyhow if there were complaints filed with the Labor Department?
Yeah, there are aspects of this rule that the government already has, especially with respect to contractor compliance of a number of these 14 labor and employment laws, that the government could have already utilized and tapped into and organized and had those inform some of their decisions about whether a contractor is responsible or not. Instead, the government pivoted and forced the compliance regime and process onto the contracting community. And this wasn't just affecting large contractors. This is affecting contractors who are pursuing contracts over $500,000, $50 million to start in the initial phase in, and also impact subcontractors. So small businesses that are interested in entering into the federal contracting marketplace suddenly had this large regulatory burden and new regime to comply with. And certainly that's not going to bring the best and the quickest and the most efficient operators in the private sector into the federal contracting marketplace. And that was something, again, that the courts agreed with in the preliminary injunction.
We're speaking with Ben Brubeck, Vice President for Regulatory, Labor, and State Affairs at the Associated Builders and Contractors. And often when a rule is proposed that seems pretty far-reaching, as this one did, there's some negotiation before it becomes final, maybe over a course of a year or two. What happened during negotiations? It sounds like these didn't happen, or the government simply didn't take into account what the affected parties argued. ahead of time?
Yeah, this was a long regulatory process, well over 2 years old. We did have an opportunity to comment on the proposed rule, and ABC National and about 300 ABC member contractors provided some input and suggestions on how to make the rule better, although I think from the get-go we knew that this was really a non-starter and this was probably illegal. We did ask for a number of ways to make the rule more palatable, including allowing contractors to get evaluations from the Department of Labor if they were a subcontractor, instead of making prime contractors evaluate the rule directly. They did grant that, and they did include that in the final rule, which I think was somewhat helpful. But the biggest issue that we complained about was that they were going to be evaluated on non-final adjudicated alleged violations, and we felt like that was illegal and would be problematic. And the Department of Labor and the FAR Council did not take those considerations, did not take those complaints into consideration, unfortunately.
Now, the judge was pretty abrupt in this whole thing. She said it was a matter of federal overreach and possible constitutional violation. What do you think the Labor Department's going to come back with now?
It's tough to speculate what they'll end up doing. They have the option to file a stay against the preliminary injunction, or they can file an appeal should we file summary judgment. I think the Department of Labor has invested a lot in this rule, so I wouldn't be shocked if they went and fought and tried to at least eliminate the preliminary injunction. But there certainly will be a delay at a minimum, and we believe that they will stand on its merits and will be victorious in the end. It's possible that they'll try to issue a new executive order and try to craft it around the concerns raised in the legal case, but it'll be curious to see how that's done. I guess maybe it could bleed into the new administration, whoever that might be.
What are you advising companies to do in the meantime?
For right now, contractors are trying to comply with one provision within the rule that did not get a preliminary injunction ruled on it, and that is the paycheck transparency provision that would require contractors to provide wage statements, which include the number of hours worked, pay rate, and any deductions, and any notice of independent contractor relationship and overtime exemptions. This is something that will take effect January 1st, and so we're working with contractors to understand the rule, and it's not particularly well drafted, and try to interpret it as best we can and then have them comply January 1st. There's a chance that it could get thrown out during later court provisions, but at this point in time, we're asking them to comply. And in the meantime, it's business as usual for contractors because the blacklisting rule hasn't been put into place, although I know a number of contractors are in the process of trying to find any previous violations and get prepared to comply with the rule in the event it's put into place.
And
should
the Labor Department prevail, say, in an appeal, is your group prepared to go a step further, possibly to the Supreme Court?
I think we'll explore all options at the time. It's tough to speculate on what could happen here and there, but this is certainly a priority for ABC's federal contractors, NASCO's federal contractors, and a number of other groups in town. So I think that you'll see a number of aggressive options in play.
Ben Brubeck is Vice President for Regulatory, Labor, and State Affairs at the Associated Builders and Contractors. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
You can read more about the case and find this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.